Oliver Williams is the website editor for the time travel story of John Titor. Now, he first saw John's internet postings in the fall of 2002. This is an incredible story. After reading many of the sites where John was discussed, it amazed Oliver as to how much polarization and confrontation John's posts caused. Now, Oliver soon realized that part of the problem was that there was no one place where all the posts could be easily seen. In early 2003, Oliver gathered the posts that John had left online and edited them into a single website. The website also contains email and news events that point to subjects that John spoke about. Oliver doesn't know if John Titor was a real-time traveler or not, but he says what still amazes him about these posts is their ability to draw you in, question your sanity for thinking it might be real, and then scare you to death after seeing events unfold, as John had said. For a bit on Coast to Coast tonight, our guest, Oliver Williams. Oliver, how are you tonight?
I'm doing fine. Thank you very much, Mr. Norrie.
My pleasure. This is such a baffling story, and the more one looks into it and investigates it, the stranger it gets. You must have felt the same way when you first stumbled into him, huh?
Oh, absolutely. That's exactly the same feeling a lot of people have when they first read the story.
Now, you have never met him, right?
That's correct. I actually discovered the posts and the story about a year after he left. And even today, if you go on a lot of the other websites that aren't mine, there are people on there who have interacted with John and still talk about their experience.
Oliver, give us a little background into who we think John Titor might have been.
Well, John claimed to have been a time traveler from the year 2036. And he came here and went online in November of 2000 and started posting about who he was, why he was here, what the future looked like, how his time machine worked. And then in March of 2001, he abruptly announced that he would be leaving to going back to 2036, and he just left, and nobody ever heard from him again. If you do a internet search for his name, you'll find thousands of websites where people are still talking about him and what he meant and a lot of the controversy that he left in his wake.
You know, for a moment I said, yeah, this is preposterous. Come on, time travel. And then all of a sudden I began to think for a moment, Oliver, and I said, first of all, I'm thinking about all this in 2004 terms where we really can't time travel. So it's obvious that we say this can't happen. However, when you think about it in terms of what could happen 30 years from now, 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, it's very possible that those people of the future found out how to time travel. And I got to tell you, if I were in that era, I'd want to come back for a little bit and look around. And maybe that's what he did.
Well, he was very specific about the reasons why he traveled in time. But it's interesting you should bring that up because actually, a couple of the predictions people think that he made actually pertain to the technology that he described. So in that area, that's one of the things that's caused a lot of controversy.
Now, let's talk a little bit about him. 2036, he was in that period. How old do we think he might have been?
Well, he actually said that online. He said he was born in 1998. So when he left in 2036, he would have been 38 years old.
38 years old. Why did he come back to this time period?
Okay, this is kind of long and involved, so I'm going to try to summarize
it. You've got at least an hour or two, so don't worry about it.
Okay, here we go. John's future, as he described it, was not a very pleasant place. For reasons which we get into later, John described the world in 2036 as recovering from a Third World War. And the reason John traveled in time, he was part of a military group that was trained to do this, and he had a very specific goal and a reason for traveling in time.
Okay, and that goal was?
All right, his mission, as he described it, was to go back to the year 1975 and get a personal computer that was manufactured by IBM called the 5100.
Boy, that was an oldie.
It was absolutely
really?
It was one of IBM's apparently first personal computers. And what he claimed he needed this for was that in the future, there were large computer systems that were having problems, and he needed this computer, this particular computer, to communicate with them so that they could fix it. Now, this is one of the areas where one of his predictions arises. It's kind of bizarre. He stated numerous times that that particular computer had various attributes to it that IBM did not publish, and that was why they needed the system.
Huh.
And, of course, when he left, nobody really paid any attention to that. And after I put up the site, I started getting numerous emails from engineers and programmers who actually worked on that machine who said he was absolutely right. That is exactly the way it worked, and we did not publish that, and he was telling the truth.
What kind of technical things might have been in that computer, Oliver?
Well, he said that the computer was designed to work with various computer languages, and it was designed to translate between them. And I guess that's why they needed the computer, because the systems they were trying to fix were so old,
they needed something
personal to fix it.
Okay.
You know, the other thing that's interesting about this is, you know, a lot of people sort of poo-pooed this as ridiculous, because one of the criticisms that the story gets is in 2036, if you have the technology to travel in time, why would you need to go back to get an antiquated piece of equipment?
I mean, we throw out our old computers now.
Well, exactly. But one of the other links on our site, and you may remember this story a while ago, NASA actually goes on eBay to scour for parts they need to make the computer systems work that they have.
I had heard about that. A lot of people do that.
So it's not a ridiculous notion that this might be what they had to do.
Okay, we're going to get into some of his predictions, because some of them are truly uncanny. So while this was going on, how does Oliver Williams start to say, you know, I've got to assemble some information here. I've got to put this together. I mean, are you a web designer by trade?
No, actually, I kind of fumbled my way through this, so I had a lot of trouble doing this in the beginning. I found out about this story the same way a lot of other people did. Usually, you know, I had a friend of mine tell me about it, and they walked in, you know, they hadn't slept for 3 days, and they said, "You got to read this story. This is amazing." So you go online and you start reading it, and it has this ability to really draw you into it. And the same thing happened to me. I ended up staying up for about 3 nights in a row, scouring the web, looking for all the posts. And what happens is you read the story, and you come across something that just seems so ridiculous and outlandish that you go, oh, this has got to be science fiction. This can't be real. But when you keep reading, and then maybe a week or two later, you see something in the news that pertained to what he was talking about. And you go, wait a minute, that's what that time traveler guy was saying. So it makes you go back and reread it, and then you have that connection that seems to be bewildering most people, which is, you know, the effect that seems to be going on right now.
Oliver, did he just post or did he chat with people? What did he do?
Okay, from what I understand, he made contact with a couple of people in various forums that were devoted to time travel. And he started, you know, he basically went online and said, "Hi, I'm a time traveler, and I'd like to talk to you. And if you've got any questions, please leave them here and I'll answer them." And that went on for about 3 months. And I also understand that he may have had personal email contacts with some people, and actually those people are still online and answering questions about him. I believe he was in a couple of chat rooms, and I'm not sure anybody had any direct contact with him, but that's what I'm sure of.
Well, maybe when we open up phone lines, and I may hold you another hour, Oliver, we'll open up some phone lines. I'd like to see if we have anybody who might have chatted with John. Maybe they'll call in and you know, tell us a few stories or two. Do you know if anybody during this era ever met him?
From this era, you mean
from our time period.
Well, this is where the story starts to get a little weird, but I'll tell you what he said. When he came back, and he was here in the year 2000, he claimed that he was with his mother and father and his young self, and that's where he was posting from.
Ah, okay. So where might that have been? Do we know?
He claimed to be in Florida.
Okay. Did the family ever come public after he left or disappeared?
No, and actually this is another interesting part of what's happened recently. Rumor has it, and of course this all happened after he left, that the family now has an attorney whose job it is to specifically protect them and their interests, and they do not want to come forward and talk about this anymore.
How bizarre.
But yeah, the attorney apparently is out there. And I know a lot of people have either talked to the attorney or have tried to talk to him, but yeah, he makes no bones about what his job is to protect the family.
Okay, Oliver, tell us what you started to do when you put the website together about this.
All right, well, the first thing I did was I had the experience of having to go back and look at all the posts, And that became so frustrating that I started collecting them and editing them so that they were basically chronological, and that was the first thing that I posted online. And as time went by, I started getting emails from people, and I could see the gist of what the reaction to the story was based on these emails. And then they would start sending links of news stories that pertain to the, you know, what John posted. So all of this stuff started gaining steam, and it's basically been gathering for a year now. And we've had about 12 million hits, and I've got probably over 5,000 emails from people that have sent in.
12 stuff. Million. You'll get about 10,000 more tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
I also hear in doing some of the research into John that he was pretty blunt. He was pretty sarcastic. He was pretty tough on people when he was posting, wasn't he?
Well, yes, he was. And I think, let's see, how do I put this? In my opinion, when John first started posting, I don't think he had a very good opinion of us. But I think later on he did warm up to us. I'll tell you, I've got a quick couple of sentences here that are quotes from him that I think say it pretty well.
Okay.
And this is John now. He said, "Perhaps I should let you all in on a little secret. No one likes you in the future. This time period is looked at as being full of lazy, self-centered, civically ignorant sheep. Perhaps you should be less concerned about me and more concerned about that." And that was kind of John's attitude when he first started posting.
How did he get here? What kind of apparatus did he get here in?
Okay, this is another branch of the story that has a lot of controversy to it. According to John, well, I could talk about the machine or I could talk about how he described time travel working. So
let's talk about both.
Okay, I'll start about what he described time travel
working. Okay.
According to John, the idea of multiple worlds or multiple universes was correct. And the idea that he described was if you're in a room that has mirrors on both walls. Like, have you ever been in a barber and you've seen a barber shop, you've seen mirrors on both walls?
Mm-hmm.
And when you turn and look at them, you can see yourself in an infinite reflection going in each direction.
And you see yourself and you see yourself and it just keeps going.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the way he described how the universe was put together. And according to him, the way that you traveled was this machine allowed you to step out of one room and into another. And each room was distinct and separate so that whatever happened in one room would not affect what was going on in another.
Okay.
So, according to John, the grandfather paradox did not exist. You know, going back in time and harming your grandfather would not affect you in the future.
That also explains, if he indeed did go back and live with his parents and his younger self, why things didn't go crazy on him, I
guess. Exactly.
Okay.
Now, the machine that John described that allowed him to do this, he described it as being about the size of a large suitcase, and apparently it used two mini black holes that generated a gravity field that allowed him to step between these world lines. And this goes back to another interesting prediction he made, and this was actually the first thing that caught people's attention. When he was describing how his time machine worked, he said that CERN was going to make an announcement, or that would be the starting point for the technology to build the time machine. And this was back in February of 2001, and then he left, of course, in March.
Okay.
And indeed, in September of 2001, CERN did come out and say exactly that. And in my opinion, that's where the story started gaining speed.
How was he trained? I mean, was he an expert in physics? Was he an astronomer? Was he just as you said, he was part of a military? Was he merely a soldier? Do we know a little bit more about his education?
Yeah, John claimed to have been a soldier, and he also claimed to have an education as a historian. But the key thing that he also said was that he was related to the man in 1975 that he needed to get the computer from. And according to John, being related to the person that you're trying to get to is the best way to convince them that you're a time traveler. So John apparently fit all three of those categories. He knew about history, he was related to the person that he needed to get to, and he had military training, which I guess allowed him to do what he needed to do.
You know, what's so amazing, Oliver, is if he left in 2001, 3 years from now, he's probably now in the year 2039, I wonder how he's doing. I wonder what's happening with him.
Yeah, a lot of people have been wondering that.
And I wonder why he never came back.
Well, I guess he finished his mission. He did what he needed to do, so I'm not sure he needed to come back.
Did he ever say anything about trying to get involved, trying to alter events during this time period?
Again, that's another very open speculation that a lot of people have talked about. One of the things John said about his timeline was that Y2K happened for him, and that was one of the big distinctions between where he came from and us. And there was a lot of speculation out there that whatever John had done in 1975 may have stopped Y2K from happening for us, which is odd because if you think about all the preparation and everything everybody was getting ready for, and then basically nothing happened. So that's one of the things people speculate about.
Well, maybe we can thank John for that, don't we?
Well, maybe, but according to John, the outcome of not having a Y2K may have been worse for us than not having it.
Let's talk a little bit, Oliver, about some of his predictions. And, of course, we have a break coming up, and then we'll talk about some of them even more. But give us, if you can, a thumbnail sketch on some of the things he talked about before they happened.
Oh, absolutely. Before John made these predictions, it's important to realize that he said all of this in 2000, 2001.
And this is all documented.
Yeah, that's another interesting point. Is a lot of people ask, well, how do you know that these posts were made when the time period that they're supposed to be made? And I guess the best proof is that there are hundreds of people online who have been following this story
right.
for 4 years, and any one of them will tell you that it's real. But he said all of these things before 9/11, before the war on terror, before the shuttle accident, and he talked about a lot of subjects that are important today. That when you look at when he said them back then, nobody paid them any mind. It just seemed a ridiculous idea that we would be at war in the Middle East, or that something would happen to the space shuttle, or that no weapons of mass destruction would be found in Iraq. I mean, nobody paid any attention to it.
No, you're right. You're right about that. And yet, his accuracy for these predictions was very, very high, wasn't it?
Yeah, a lot of people feel that way.
Did he say anything dire, Oliver, that may have been published in a line or two, and we really don't know too much about that. Maybe you have stumbled across as you put together this website.
Yeah, actually, there are. I could get more specific about some of the things I just mentioned, but probably what most people are waiting for now is John made very dire predictions about the mad cow disease, and just last night.
Just last night.
There was another news story that came out about how prevalent and worse it may be for us.
You're absolutely right.
And this is exactly what John said over and over and over again. So a lot of people are talking about that. Another one that's coming up is John made reference to the fact that the Olympics would be canceled due to world conflict after 2004.
After 2004, which
yes,
means
now,
that we'll
again,
have the one in we'll have the one in Greece.
Well, see, now this is an interesting part of the story because this is where you get into the duality of some of the things he said. Because the way he stated that, if the Olympics don't happen now, then a lot of people will point to him and go, oh, see, he was right.
Right.
But if they do happen, then he, because of the way that he positioned the syntax, it kind of looks like it won't happen after 2004.
Right, so it means that the ones in 2008 probably won't be around. And I assume, let's see now, in terms of Winter Games, would the Winter Games be 2006?
Yeah, I think they're every 2 years.
Every 2 years. Stay with us, Oliver. We'll be back with you in just a moment as we talk about the incredible time traveling of John Titor. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Our guest is Oliver Williams, developed a website to kind of put together all the stories and email information on time traveler John Titor. Oliver, is it possible that John merely was or is a remote viewer, that he's still on the planet somewhere, he's just from our time, he was just very good at what he did and was able to pick up things in the future?
That's a possibility. And a lot of people have speculated about where this story came from. And it basically has fallen into two camps. Either this guy was a time traveler, or there was one person or a group of people that were able to see into the future and predict it fairly well. They knew about physics. They knew about computers. They knew how to tell a story. And they were able to do it and tie it all together and not get exposed. So I guess when you look at either one of those, that's what people are trying to decide on is you know, how did this come about?
Well, you're right about that, too. And maybe for some reason they thought it might be easier for us to accept if they created a time traveler, albeit John Titor, and start feeding it on the Internet. But the big point is now he's gone, and we haven't heard from him since, have we?
That's correct.
What did he say specifically about his future, that 2036 time period?
Well, the future that John told us about was not a very pleasant place. According to John, Y2K, after it happened, led to a civil war in the United States, which led to a worldwide World War III, and then John's world was recovering from that war. And he described a lot of changes that went on in the United States, how society had changed. And I think while John was here, it seemed obvious that he was very out of place. He didn't understand a lot of things that we take for granted. And I think that was one of the areas where people were really taken back by how he seemed like he was in an alien environment.
Did he talk about specifically the calamity of that World War III, where it might have started?
Yeah, actually he did. And he gave dates. He said, and this again goes back to the duality of the story, there are some people who, because of this particular prediction, feel that it's not true. Others feel that it's starting to happen. He said that the civil war or civil conflict in the United States would begin in 2004 and 2005. He said by 2008, it would be open conflict would be obvious to everybody by 2008. That conflict would lead to instability in the world due to, he called it wavering Western policy toward other nations, and that was what was going to be the initiation for the World War. Now, according to John, there was a nuclear war which took place in the United States, which basically targeted large cities. And after that war, I guess John, being in the Civil War, John was fighting on the other side, which he was fighting against the people in the cities.
Mm-hmm.
So when they were destroyed in the war, John's side basically won. So that was how he described what happened to the United States. And this was in 2015 is when he described that war ending.
Okay, now you said it was revolving around a Y2K problem.
Exactly.
Which would have occurred had he probably not come back to change it or fix that.
Right.
Now, in as much then as he fixed Y2K, that we didn't have the problem, will we still be pushed into this civil war?
Well, see, that's kind of the other open speculation. And John made mention of this also. He said, you know, you have the power to change your future. It doesn't have to look like mine. But he was very cynical. He said, you know, from my viewpoint, I don't think you're going to. You know, even if Y2K didn't happen here, according to him, he seemed to think we were headed toward the same type of conflict that he had. So it's basically up to us, is what he said.
Let's talk about some of the specifics, Oliver, of his predictions. I'll give you the kind of the heading, and you can get into some of the specifics for us the best way that you can. Again, he talked about the time travel technology involving mini black holes.
Exactly.
That would be discovered. As you said, they're beginning to indeed announce the possibility of mini black holes. As a matter of fact, Stephen Hawking is even reversing now his 30-year-old thoughts on black holes.
Yeah, and that's another area of contention in the story because John got into numerous arguments and confrontations with quite a few people about the exact specifications and technology of his time machine based on some of the things Hawking was standing by at the time. And some people have interpreted Hawking's turnaround as now agreeing with what John had said. I'll tell you something else that's interesting. One of the people that claims to have had first contact with John, and I know she's out there listening, she said she sent all of John's material. You know, he posted pictures online. He had pages from his operations manual were online. And according to her, she sent all of this stuff to Stephen Hawking. And I guess it was shortly after that that he apparently changed his mind about it. so you can take that for what it's worth.
It would be amazing if Stephen Hawking changed his views of black holes based on John Titor, huh? Do you have on your website the picture of the time machine?
Yes. Actually, he posted three or four diagrams, but the one that seems to be getting most attention is a cutaway drawing of the actual interior and the mechanics of the time machine.
Okay, and the website, of course, is johntitor.com. Why don't you spell it for us?
Yeah, it's johntitor.com.
Very good. Linked up right now on coasttocoastam.com.
Yeah, but I also have to say, George, that my site was not really the origin. There are, you know, I just want to throw a bone to a couple of folks. There's the Anomaly site. They held the ball for a long time on the story. And there's a great group of motivated, angry, anti-Titor crowd there. They've been carrying this for a long time. There's another one called the Time Travel Forum. And, of course, the Fantastic
Sure.
site had also picked the ball
the
up
Fantastic
there.
Forum Pirates. Okay. Let me get into the specifics about something he said that troubles me. And that
okay.
has to do with the U.S. Constitution. He believed... And he said, in the future, our civil rights were eroding away. Well, all of a sudden, we get the Patriots Act. Some people have said that this is one thing that could really erode our rights.
Absolutely. And again, this is one of the things John talked about over and over again, that he was absolutely bewildered and amazed that we did not understand how our Constitution worked and we had no appreciation for it. And numerous occasions, he said... It was going to be taken away from us. Piece by piece, we would see parts of it disappear as time went on. And, of course, this is back in the year 2000, so nobody was paying any attention to it. And then, of course, the Patriot Act comes along. So, again, that's one of those instances where people started coming to the story after they had read it, and this happened.
Do we know what John Titor's physical description might have been? There obviously were no pictures of him, right?
That's correct. You know, he described himself, I guess, as a white male, but there were no pictures of him online.
All right. Some of the other things he talked about, again, you mentioned mad cow disease, and you are absolutely right. Just yesterday, there was a report out of Britain that it could be more prevalent than they had believed, especially the human form, the CJD, to the point where we're going to do an entire program on this. And he was years ahead of himself there. I mean, this was something that scientists and doctors were saying is no big deal, and now it very well could be.
Yeah, and, you know, he was specific. He said it was going to come to the U.S. It was going to be worse than we possibly imagined, and he warned us about it over and over again. And, of course, people thought he was ridiculous. They told him he was nuts, it wasn't a problem, and here it is.
Did people attack him when he was posting?
Yes, they did, but I don't think they were, you know, attacking him personally. I think they were attacking the idea that he might be real. I think that was very threatening for a lot of people when they were talking to him.
Well, you know, on the face of it, it sounds ridiculous. However, you have to stop and think, and you got to say, time travel eventually, I believe this, eventually will be very possible. That we will develop a way to do this. And then it's entirely possible to then assume that they will come back and look at events, maybe try to help, even though so many people say they won't alter, but maybe they will. And so that's entirely possible. Who knows what could happen 30, 40, 50 years from now, maybe even longer.
Well, you know, I'm going to throw a piece of John Titor's philosophy out there since you just reminded me of that. You know, based on the way John described time working, that there were multiple world lines and they were all independent, John seemed to describe that when he came here, he really did not have a moral obligation to do anything for us, because he explained to us that for everything that's good here, it's bad someplace else, so it all evens out in the end. So no matter what I do here, there's another version of me on another world line doing something bad or doing something good. So this overall bizarre philosophy of traveling in time seemed to carry over to a lot of his attitudes about what was right and what was wrong.
Some of his thoughts and predictions were somewhat fun as well. He was asked once about the 2001 Super Bowl. What was his answer on
that? Oh, yeah, that is another one. That is one that it's so weird and far out there that I'll tell you what happened. Just to give you a little background, John had specific rules about what he would talk about when it came to the idea of predictions.
Okay.
And he said that he was not going to be specific in three areas. He said he was not going to give any information about specific people. In other words, he wasn't going to tell us who the president was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't going to give us stock tips or sports tips. He wasn't going to tell us, who won the Super Bowl or, what stock to buy.
Right.
Actually, this is kind of interesting. One of the side notes, he said, it's very, very interesting that nobody ever asks me which stock to sell. They're always asking me which one to buy. And that apparently bugged him at no end. And the third rule was he wasn't going to give any information about avoiding death by probability, which meant he wasn't going to tell you where an earthquake was, if a plane was going to crash, or
right.
if there was any natural disasters. So given that, here's the answer to a Super Bowl question.
Somebody asked him, I guess, when he was supposed
to. Yes, and this is on December 10th of 2000. Somebody said, point blank, who is going to win the Super Bowl in 2001? And John got very irate because he had been getting these questions over and over again. And he said, well, let me ask you a question. If you had to travel back in time 10 or 20 years, do you think you could convince people you were a time traveler just based on what you knew right now? Could you tell me mm-hmm. if it rained in New York City, was his comment. And, of course, nobody paid any attention to that. And now we know the Giants lost that game. So
it rained sadness on
yes.
that day.
So was that a coincidence or an accident? I don't know, but it sure is bizarre.
He said the IRS would be eventually dissolved, and lo and behold, just a week ago, Dennis Hessert announced, the congressman, that he was going to propose that the IRS be abolished.
Yep, he mentioned that three or four times, and he actually got into a little confrontation with people because he said, we do pay taxes, but we don't pay them to the IRS. We don't pay income taxes. And people didn't understand that. And now, in lieu of what's happening now, it seems to be a little clearer.
They're talking about a use tax or some kind of slighter tax, and you're absolutely right. Which, by the way, I've always believed, Oliver, would really jumpstart the economy. I mean, when you put 100% of people's money back in their hands, they're going to buy things.
Yeah, I agree. But, I think the way John described it coming about was that the future was very decentralized. No longer did you have these huge monolithic corporations and entities controlling all this money and resources. And it seemed that that was sort of the motivation to get rid of the IRS.
What did he say about cloning?
John, I believe a couple of times, said that in the future, cloning was looked upon as being immoral and wrong. And this is kind of interesting, George. He said that it pertained to the third commandment. This is kind of confusing because it's my understanding that there are different versions of the Ten Commandments, and one of them talks about idols. Thou shalt not make, graven images.
Mm-hmm.
And according to John, they felt that that was the commandment that talked about cloning. So apparently it had worked its way into their religious beliefs somehow, and that's why they thought it was morally wrong.
That is fascinating. Well, and they're moving ahead. Just yesterday again, you talk about days here. Our timing with you is pretty good because yesterday a new form of cloning announced by a company that clones pets, and they said it's much easier now. So it's out there. It's happening indeed. Was he ever threatened? Is it possible somebody did something to him?
You mean that made him disappear?
Yes. Or did something harmful to him?
I don't think so. He seemed to be pretty confident that nothing was going to happen to him. And I think one of the statements he made was that evil is fairly stupid, and it was easy to stay one step ahead of it. So, I didn't get the sense that he was afraid of being caught.
What was the period of time that he posted?
It was from November 2000 to March of 2001.
So, all right, not a long time then.
No, but it is interesting. It was right over the election period.
Mm-hmm.
So, there were periods of time where John would disappear and wouldn't come back online. And a lot of people thought that maybe the reason he was here had something to do with the election.
And what do you think?
I don't know. I don't think that's the way he worked. I don't think he was out there doing things purposely to screw us up.
Now, did anybody check the last name with anybody in Florida and indeed track this family?
Yes, many people have tried, but again, John was very cryptic about his name, and it is now believed that that was not his real last name.
Ah, okay, okay.
In fact, there's a lot of speculation that Teeter stands for Time Travel Or, and that's where the name Teeter came
good
from.
Point. Good point. As a matter of fact, when he started posting, he called himself what?
It was Time Travel Zero, which was what his original name was. And, you know, I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not, but he actually was on the old Art Bell site before...
Yes.
Yes.
He would post.
Yeah, and another interesting thing, and this is sort of out on the fringe of the myth, it is believed that John did contact Art in 1998 and sent him a fax, which he read online. And in this fax, apparently John mentioned a skyscraper that was missing in New York. And I've seen that transcript online, and I understand that there's a short MP3 floating around someplace, but that's part of the myth also.
All right. Is it possible that Teeter ever called into Coast to Coast?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, we never know what his voice was like, so I guess you're right. We won't know that. Do you know if governments ever tried to track him down?
Okay, another interesting question. Because on our site, we noticed for a period of time that we were getting an incredible amount of traffic from government websites. At the same time, other hosts were posting that they were experiencing the same phenomenon.
That's interesting. Maybe they were trying to find him. Stay with us. Oliver, do you want to take some phone calls with us?
Absolutely.
All right, let's do this. Those of you who may have posted in the past, may have done some internet chat with John Teeter, or if you have any general questions, we're going to open up the phone lines for you next hour, and then later on when we get into open lines, in addition to pure open lines, I'll open up a special topic line for time travelers. I'll talk about that later. We'll be right back. Oliver, with everything you know about this case, what fascinates you the most?
I think what fascinates me the most is how long it's lasted. Many people have tried to debunk it, and to my knowledge, right now, there is no definitive evidence to prove this one way or the other. And to me, that to me is amazing.
Well, that's true. As a matter of fact, you can't. You can't say it's he did or he didn't, because you have to think of it in future technology, and people can't do that.
Well, you know, if the real John Teeter is out there and someday he wants to come forward, I would hope he would send me an email, because we'll definitely post it on our site.
Maybe he'll call in tonight. You never know. You ready? We'll
take
some calls. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, hold on a second. Yeah, you there?
Yep.
Yeah, hi, my name's Tom.
Hi, John.
I'm calling because I worked with the IBM 5100 back in, like, 1975.
Okay.
This question, number one, I'm really curious to know what this guy knows about it technically. My second thing is, I'll just go on to that. So I was, like, a director of research and development for a Y2K conversion company at the end of the 90s. And you know what? It was all hype. We hyped the whole thing. It wasn't a scare. We made it all up. So that's just a comment.
Why'd you make it up?
To make money. Now, I didn't like doing it. I was enjoying, you know, like doing technology, like trying to do the conversions by automation, but mostly it was done by hand. By a bunch of programmers in rooms pretending to be automation. It was gory. It was stupid.
Okay, let's check in, though. You're not the technical person here, Oliver. The IBM 5100.
Yeah, again, if you go back and read the post, he was very specific about what the attributes of the machine were. And as I recall, it had something to do with being able to program or translate or do something with various computer languages. And one of those languages was very obscure. It was like very, very old computers, and that was never announced as being... I remember what it was. He said that IBM was afraid that if this got out, they wouldn't need any servicers anymore because all their customers would just buy this machine and do all the work themselves. So I remember that was one of the issues why they never announced it.
Okay, next up, let's go east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast, you're on with Oliver. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yeah.
I'm Barb.
Hi, Barb. Go ahead.
Oliver?
Yes.
I have two questions.
Okay.
Did John Teeter ever say anything about what would happen in the year 2012? And the other question is, did he say if anything would happen to our moon?
On the moon, no, I don't believe he said anything about the moon.
It wouldn't disappear or blow up or anything?
Nope, he didn't say anything about that. On 2012, though, as I recall, he was cryptic about that date. And in the context of what he said, that would be during the war. And I remember that he talked about it, and he said, yes, it was a unique period, but he didn't go into detail about what happened.
That's too bad.
Well, you know, again, if you look back at maybe some of his rules, maybe there was something going on that he didn't want to tell us about. You know, maybe there was a natural disaster or something happened, he just didn't want to tell us.
I think that anything, good or bad, I think that people have a right to know.
Well, you
if
would definitely
they want to know, I think they have a right to know about anything they want to know about, whether it's good or bad.
Well, I'll give you an example that John gave. He said, what if I told you you were going to be in a plane crash and you were able to avoid it, but because of that, some other horrible event was going to occur that more people would have died in? I mean, from the perspective of knowing that was going to happen, are you put in a moral dilemma where you just basically don't say anything? And I think that's basically where he was coming from. And you definitely would have gotten an argument from him about that.
Okay, thanks for your call, Barb. Appreciate you being on Coast to Coast. Did he ever talk about the possibility of whether we went to Mars or anything like that?
Yes. At least two or three times he said that they were not on Mars yet. But now that you mention that, I do recall he said something about they were trying to use the time travel technology to travel to moon or to travel to the moon or Mars.
Okay. Sounds like they are definitely going through wormholes.
Well, that's what it sounded like.
Let's go to our international line. Where are you calling from? You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. It's Tremaine from Powell River.
Oh, Tremaine, welcome.
Hey, well, thanks a lot. I've got a question regarding crystals and how is it possible that they may be as a kind of a focusing lens for negative and positive high frequencies that may help to tunnel through time?
I don't know specifically if crystals, of any type of crystals, were involved. John did go into great detail about how the machine worked. Right off the top of my head, I can't give you all the details. But if you look at the post, he went on and on about how it worked. And there's even, again, a diagram of the inside of the machine that you can see. So if you look at that, maybe that would help.
Will do.
All right. Thanks, Troy.
Thanks.
He's what I call. He sounds like Albert Einstein would have sounded like. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi. Good morning, George.
Good morning.
Good morning, Oliver. You mentioned that John Teeters might have been using an alias, but I thought it was interesting that he even chose the last name Teeter, like teetering on the brink of destruction, possibly. But my question was, did he mention anything about any upcoming elections or who would win the presidency, anything like that?
No, again, he wasn't specific, but I do recall he made mention that the president at the end of 2008 had some sort of a Lincoln-esque quality, that basically they were Lincoln-like, but it didn't work and things fell apart anyway. So that was the only comment he made about that.
Thanks.
Okay. Thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Let's move on to our east of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Fascinating subject.
It is. This one is different, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Well, basically, see if I can get this to a concise question.
Okay.
John is still here. He's 6 years old right now, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So, I mean, he's talking about these future events that are, like, happening in his present lifetime. Isn't his, because you were talking about the timelines, the different timelines. So the future John's future is not going to be the present John's future, correct?
Yes, that's correct. You know, I don't know what the changes might be, but maybe the John that's here is not going to be a time traveler. Maybe there won't be a civil war and a world war. So, you know, I don't know what the future would hold for them. But, you know, according to, you know, the outside myth right now, the family is here someplace, and, you know, they
in Florida,
do not want to
down, down there in Florida somewhere, I guess.
Well,
right?
I'm not sure of that. I believe there's a rumor that they might be in Nebraska someplace, was the last thing I think.
So they moved on, huh?
Yeah.
We're getting some fast blasts. People want to know specifically how they can get into the website to look at the time machine. Obviously, it's the website is linked up with coasttocoastam.com, but how do they find the time machine on the website, Oliver?
Well, on my site, it's listed under pictures, and if you go to the Anomaly site, they have a section on time travel where all the pictures are there, too. In fact, they have some pictures I don't have on my site.
Okay, good. Did anybody ever capture his IP address when he was posting?
You know, again, that right now, people have been going back and forth on that, and they are just kicking themselves because nobody thought to do that back when he was posting because nobody believed him. And there were some other oddities. You know, all of the posts after he had done posting were stored someplace and then they were brought back and nobody could find out what, you know. So no, the answer is no. Nobody thought to do that when he was posting.
West of the Rockies, welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yeah, this is Mike from San Diego.
Hello, Mike.
Yeah, I was wondering if you could use psychics to time travel, like extremely low frequency.
Let's see. John did talk a little bit about psychic. Well, here's what he said. He said that they're kicking around some sort of a theory in the future whereby if you knew that there was an alternate version of you in one world line and an alternate version in another one, was there some sort of a psychic connection between all of yous that basically accounted for, like, what-if scenarios? Like, if you had memory of something, are you getting a psychic impression from another version of yourself that's actually experiencing that right now? So, yeah, he talked about that a little bit, but it was sort of broad.
I see.
Okay, thanks for your call.
No problem.
Appreciate that, indeed. Did he talk about the physical makeup of his time machine, Oliver? I mean, did it have, like, advanced gizmos on it? Was it practical? What do you think?
Yeah, this again is kind of an interesting point. If you look at the picture of the machine, the cutaway, it's obvious that it's some sort of a machine. And people have been trying to figure out what it is now for 4 years and have been unable to do it. A lot of people thought it was some sort of a radiation detector or maybe some sort of a field radio, but nobody has been able to come forward and say, here's the picture. But he went into great detail about how much it weighed, how it worked, you know, what the various features were on it, how, you know, he walked us right through how it worked. So, you know, those details, again, are in his story.
Did he talk about religions or anything like that of the future?
Yeah, John, now this is also a point of contention, but John claimed that there wasn't a big conflict between religions, but it was much more important in people's daily life. He said that they took going to church more seriously, they took the religious teachings much more seriously, and I think he described himself as a Christian agnostic, is what he said.
Huh. Wild card line, you're on with Oliver Williams. Hi there.
Hi, how you doing?
We're doing fine. Where are you calling from?
Virginia.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question. I'm a bit confused on maybe I misunderstood it, and perhaps Oliver could clear it up for me. Oliver said that when John traveled back in time, he lived with himself and his family, and that this did not affect the future.
Correct. When he was here in the year 2000, he was here with his mother and father, who, if you think about it, I guess they would have been about his age, or maybe even younger, and his young self at the time. And according to him, since world lines or timelines, whatever you want to call them, were distinct and separate, that did not affect either version of himself while he was doing that.
Right. Well, at another point, you had also said that John went back to 1975, I believe it was, to get the computer and whatnot. But you also said that he, and this is where I might be confused, and I'd like you to clear it up for me, that he went back in time to get this computer and that he somehow helped stop Y2K.
Right. That's speculation on some people's part. I've seen them kick that around. John never said that, but that's what some people believe.
Okay, that was my confusion, because it almost sounded like a contradiction that, you know, if he stopped Y2K, how could it not affect the future?
Yeah, believe me, it's a lot of contradictions. But, yeah, he never said he did that, but a lot of people feel that may be what he was trying to do.
Great, thanks for that call. Did he get the 5100, the IBM 5100?
Yeah, apparently, ultimately, he did get it, and he did get back with it.
How big was that thing? What did it look like?
He described it as, again, about the size of a suitcase. He said it could fit on a tabletop. And he said it had a small... Actually, there's pictures of it on the site, if you go and look. Yeah, and this is another interesting thing. There's sort of a cult following now at IBM over this machine. And I've seen some sites where they're telling everybody to save the computers because people in the future are going to need them.
I love that. First-time caller line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi there. I'm Doug from Fraser, Michigan.
Sure, Doug. Welcome.
I'm wondering what life is like when he came from in general, and also how can there be no, like, global manufacturing and things like that, yet I believe on the website it said something about the Internet is alive and well then.
Yeah.
So how come there's technology without manufacturing?
Well, I don't think the way John described it, was a lot of these things were done more locally. You know, instead of maybe one large computer manufacturer, you had 100 different manufacturers that were all existing in some sort of communal system. But, you know, he does describe the Internet as being up and running, and he said it operated on what they called some sort of a node. He said that the Internet didn't run through phone lines. It was basically a huge wireless system where you had these nodes like every 100 yards. So it was very self-contained and had a lot of, you know, systems, that backup systems, and that's what he described it as. As far as, you know, descriptions of his time back then, he went on and on about how he was sort of jealous of us because we had such access to things like music and books and travel and all these opportunities. In fact, he told a story about how he walked into a grocery store. And he said he literally fell to his knees because he's never seen, you know, 200 gallons of milk in the same place. So he was very, very taken back, and he was obviously in an alien environment when he was here.
Of course, if he had talked to an earlier guest named Robert Cohen, who's opposed to drinking milk, he probably would have not cared how much milk was still in the stores. Let's go to our wild card line. You are on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there. Hello.
Hello, George.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Douglas, WMT, Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Douglas, go ahead.
I wanted to ask...
Oliver,
excuse me, if he's ever heard anything about Ray Kramer. He was an engineering professor at Ohio State for over 35 years, and he worked on an equation on not only how to communicate... using gravity waves 16 times faster than the speed of light, but also transporting matter from point A to point B, or maybe somebody that he might have mentored. I thought possibly this might be a lead for you. I don't know.
I don't remember the name Kramer.
Yeah.
But he does go on and on about what was Frank Tipler. Was the scientist he mentions over and over again. He said it was Frank Tipler's equations about time travel that were the basics for how his machine operated.
Okay. Ray Kramer's son was Philip Taylor. He was in the Iron Butterfly, but before, he had worked for the Defense Department. I guess he was a genius as far as nuclear-powered missiles. And, of course, we all know what happened to him. So I just thought I'd bring that up.
Okay.
Yeah, I
don't believe there might be a lead.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't remember any specific mention of that that particular person. But, again, you know, he may have mentioned it offhand, and I just don't remember it.
You know, Oliver, the whole thing is just fascinating. I mean, it really is. And I think even more important is the tremendous widespread interest in this individual at the time this all started. Did it build slowly or was it pretty fast?
No, it actually built very slowly, and I would say the catalyst was always some news event that would come out, and then all of a sudden I would get flooded with emails, and then it would die off for a month, and then there would be nothing, and then something else would happen in the news, and then more emails would come in. And then just slowly and slowly it just gained a following. And now people go to our site, and they're looking for the news so that they can go back and read about it in the posts.
Can we rule out that you're John Teeter and that you have not left yet?
You know, it's interesting that you say that because I get that a lot in the email. But I'll tell you something funny, George. Your name is the 57th most popular search word on our internet site. So I think there's a possibility you're John Teeter.
How would I know that?
Exactly.
You never know. Well, it's almost time. We're going to take this break. We're going to come right back with you, Oliver, and take more phone calls. This hour is almost gone, so stand by. Oliver Williams, our guest. He developed the website as he really consolidated all the information about time traveler John Teeter. I'm George Norrie, back with the rest of your calls on Coast to Coast. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie with our guest this hour, Oliver Williams, developed the website, accumulated all the information that was out there on John Teeter, the time traveler. Why do you think the story continues to flourish, Oliver?
I think more and more people, when they come to the story, are having the same basic experience I had, two or three years ago, which is they read it, then they're exposed to something in the news, and then they go back to it, and then they talk to other people about it. I think that that's basically the reason why it's lasted so long.
Do you believe it? Do you believe that John Teeter was a time traveler?
You know what? I don't know. And I kind of like it better that way because I'm having much more fun not knowing. You know, it's like if you spend your whole life trying to research Bigfoot, do you really want to find out that it's not real? Or, do you really want to find out the Loch Ness Monster is not real? And that's kind of the way I look at this. It's a great story. And, if John Teeter's out there, I don't want him to come forward because I'm having too much fun.
Yeah, I know your feeling. Let's go back to the phones. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, Jordan Oliver. This is Andrew calling from Phoenix, Arizona.
Hi, Andrew. Go ahead with your question.
All right. I have two questions. One is a two-part question.
Okay.
What did he use for contacting other people, like forums or chat services?
Actually, he first appeared on, I think it was the Time Travel Institute was the first website he appeared on. And then he migrated over to the Art Bell website, and those were the two sites where he left most of his posts.
Okay. And the second is, has the government tried tracking the IP address?
Again, a lot of people have talked about that and speculated about it.
Mm-hmm.
I would guess if the government really wanted to find out about this, that either they already have or they could. So, I don't have any details about that.
So they could know, possibly?
Well, they might. But again, nobody thought to get the IP address when he was actually posting. And a lot of people have kicked themselves over and over because of that.
Okay, Andrew, thanks.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate it. Now, by getting the IP address, if the government did get that, would that immediately lead them to at least where he was or merely the server in question?
I don't know a whole lot about how the Internet works. I've got a rough idea, but it's my understanding that the IP address tells you where the person is, but I don't recall John ever trying to hide that fact. He plainly said where he was, so I'm not sure if even getting the IP address would have helped.
Okay, let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Greetings. This is James from Lincoln, Nebraska.
Welcome, James.
And I had a question for you. You mentioned that the current John Teeter may be, have moved to Nebraska.
Yes.
Is there anything that's special about Nebraska? The reason I asked that is because have you heard of Sean David Morton? He's been on Coast several times. He talks about that the New Jerusalem was Nebraska and that he was from New Omaha. And what if there was something special about Nebraska, that it was a safer place? Or?
Well, yes, I have two answers to that. One, John said the new capital of the United States was Omaha, Nebraska. And there's a book out there, apparently, about John Teeter, and there are some posts or some comments or something from John's mom in this book, and apparently she talks about how she took the family and moved them out to Nebraska.
And has that ended up, how would I want to ask that? Was there just Nebraska was the safer place?
You know, I don't have any details about that, but apparently she moved from Florida and went to Nebraska. Whether she was, you know, trying to keep her privacy or there was some other reason, you know, nobody really said.
Okay, thanks for your call.
Appreciate it.
So, and you said he would be about, what, six now? Probably a little older than that.
Yeah.
Nine?
1998. So, yeah, I'm not sure how old.
Well, he was born in 98.
Right.
Okay, so, yeah, that would make him 6 years old. First-time caller line, you're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi. This is Tim calling from KTRS St. Louis.
Oh, sure thing. Hi.
Hi. I wanted to ask your guest if there's any specific predictions that he's made against which maybe we could test his veracity that are coming up in the, you know, near future.
All right, that's a good question. Anything for us to judge in the not-too-distant future, Oliver?
Again, I think a lot of people are waiting to see what happens with the Olympics. They're waiting to see what happens with the IRS. And, you know, having our civil rights go away seems to be an ongoing thing. So, right now, the majority of the email I'm getting is hundreds and hundreds of sites about the mad cow disease.
And cloning as well.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll monitor that. What did he say about space shuttles?
Well, before the Columbia accident, John made three comments about how the space shuttle was going to have a problem. You know, he wasn't specific, but he mentioned it three times, and, you know, after the fact, of course, you go back and read the post, and it's just sort of odd that he would bring this up.
Right. His accuracy rate is pretty darn high, isn't it?
Well, you know, if it's a coincidence, yeah, you know.
There are
again,
none.
there's something in the back of my mind that just says, you know, this can't be, so I just can't bring myself to say that he knew this before, and I just can't do that.
Let's go to our wild card line. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Welcome.
Hi. Oliver, there are sort of three things that I was wondering whether John sort of pulled together. The first is the sort of secret government, New World Order, the Montauk Project, the Paperclip Project. The second thing is the implications or lack thereof of the ET presence. And the third thing is the sort of worldwide spiritual awakening that seems to be happening. I'm wondering whether John sort of pulled all those together.
I don't think he pulled all of them together. I do recall he did talk about UFOs a little bit, and he said that they're absolutely a mystery to him, too, and he had no idea what they were. But there was speculation that they might have been time travelers from their future. So he did make that comment. And you talked about government programs. It was obvious in his post that he had absolutely no love at all for the federal government that was in charge around 2008.
Right. My second question is I don't want to cause any problems for his family, but how was his family tracked if no one ever found his computer? Apparently, his mother has written a book or something.
Well, no, I'm not exactly sure where the book came from, but apparently she made comments in the book. So yeah, I guess it came. She collected the posts and she made comments. And again, this is from that, you know, sort of a fringe, weird side of the story concerning the attorney and the family. You know, and again, I don't pay too much attention to that because I'm more concerned about what he actually posted online. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I try to you know, position my efforts.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, appreciate that. You know, he could very well be the futuristic Nostradamus, couldn't he?
You know, I suppose he could, but, you know, when I look at the posts, I realize that John was actually too complicated. He actually gave us too much. I mean, if you look back in history at things that we remember about future predictions, they're basically really simple. You know, Nostradamus was very simple.
Yes.
You know, religious figures are very simple. And it kind of makes you wonder, you know, what exactly is truth? How do you recognize it? You know, so, you know, it seems like the simpler a prediction is, the longer it withstands the test of time.
It's almost like Occam's razor. Let's go to East of the Rockies. Hi there.
Hi, my name is Kyle, and I had a question for Oliver and some comments and information to pass on.
It's all yours, Kyle. Go ahead.
All right, Oliver. There are opposition forces out there. that are opposing the group of people that John Teeter works for. And I was wondering, have they done anything, or is there any information on what they've tried to do to counter some of the things he's done? Because it sounds like he's violated some protocols in actually giving up the information that he has given up.
Well, I suppose that's possible. And again, you know, this is sort of the ongoing tale as it is now.
Okay.
There are groups of people out there that seem very angry and motivated to discredit this story. I've seen instances where, you know, once they lock onto somebody that they think is John Teeter, they post pictures of him, his family. I've seen satellite pictures of people's homes, and they give directions on how to get there. I've seen organized efforts where they drive through neighborhoods and take pictures. So, yeah, there is people out there that take this very seriously.
Oh, okay. Well, I've seen some information on a website. I can't remember the name of it, but what it said is that what causes the Civil War is that Bush will win 37 of the states outright, and 13 of them will be disputed in the courts. And that's what the terrorists use as their opening to try to attack the United States, and that's what causes the collapse.
See, now, see the fact that you can even say that and it's plausible, doesn't that scare you? I mean,
well, I'm very frightened.
Yeah, I mean, this was said 4 years ago. I mean, it was ridiculous back then. I mean, the fact that we can even speculate about it scares me.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's all I had.
I got to tell you, too, it sounds like the Teeter also had a pretty darn high IQ, Oliver.
Well, I guess, you know, they don't let chimps travel in time, I guess.
At least unless you're not on the Planet of the Apes, right?
Yeah.
Wildcard Line, welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George and Oliver.
Hi.
I'm Beverly, and I'm from the Chicago area.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a constant listener. I'm devoted. I can't eat. I can't sleep. You know, you interrupt everything. Anyway, why I'm calling is Oliver...
Sound like Sylvia Brown for a moment.
Yeah, I've been told that. Not only you, Oliver, but other guests on George's show have mentioned that, you know, there are dire things coming and that we can change it. And although this John Teeter seemed to believe we couldn't do it, I am more positive. And do you remember in 1987, or it was 88, it was one of those 2 years, under President Reagan, we held hands across America at a specific time on a specific date. And I was in visiting Colorado, driving through, when we saw these people all lined up on the road, and we got out and we held hands. And everyone was so positive and so happy. But I don't know why we held hands. And it is my belief and my feeling that if we all do something very positive like that, whether it be as a closing gesture on your show, George, every night, that we all think positively about changing hatred to love, greed to generosity, and cruelty to kindness, to send up these positive vibes, because the Soviet Union broke apart shortly after we held hands across America.
Well, that's true. You know, I got a call yesterday from someone who said, it appears that prayer isn't working. Look at the state of everything. And then I reversed it, Oliver. I said, wait a minute. How do we know it wouldn't be worse?
Well, you know, one of the interesting things that she mentioned was, you know, John didn't say we couldn't change our future. He just had a lot of pessimism about whether or not we would actually do it. So he said that the outcome of what was going to happen to us was like a birth process, that things would get better ultimately. But he didn't have any faith that we would, you know, do what she said. We would not hold hands to change things. We would let things get worse and let it happen.
Let's go to our international line. Where are you calling from? You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, it's Shane calling from Australia. How are you?
Hi, Shane. Good.
I seem to remember reading in his predictions that he mentioned a number of Waco-type events around the U.S. election this year.
Yes.
He also seemed to mention Australia quite a lot, like us taking a number of nuclear hits in the war with China.
Yeah, he did. As I recall, what he said about Australia was that before the war or later period in the war that they would undergo an invasion from Australia, I'm sorry, from China, but they would defend against it, that they ultimately would come out of that invasion. As far as the Waco-type incidents, yes, John did mention that, and he said that those would start to become more prevalent also, but there's been a great deal of controversy over what exactly is a Waco-type incident. Is it something that's violent involving the government? Is it something to do with religion? I mean, you know, it's hard to say exactly what that is.
It's still very hard for the press to ignore something like that, though, and we've only got about 4 months to your election, don't we?
Yes, we sure do. We sure do. Hey, thanks for your call, Shane. I appreciate it. A couple more minutes to go, and we'll try to squeeze in as many calls as we can before we say goodnight to Oliver Williams. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, how you doing?
We are fine, thanks.
I just wanted to ask Oliver if John said anything about if there's something we could do to prepare for upcoming events.
Yes, as I recall, there is a list in the Post. I think he lists 10 things that he felt that we should do or get ready for. And it, as I recall, it was things like, you know, walk more. What was the other one?
Go ahead.
Sorry, you still there?
I'm still with you. And I don't know if he is, but he'll listen.
Yeah, he said also try to get your eating habits under control. He said find five people with 100 miles of you and become good friends with them. Think about if you had to leave your home in 10 minutes, what you would take with you. I mean, that was the kind of advice he gave.
It's pretty poignant, I'll tell you that. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, my name's Job. I'm from St. Louis.
Hi.
Last time I heard from you, you were talking about how you would know if you were John Teeter. And I was asking, what year was that he came and visited his mom and dad? Is that 2000?
Yeah, he started posting online in November of 2000.
Yeah, so then he would have known who he was from 2000, right? That's 4 years ago.
You mean his family, or he would have known?
Oh, didn't he talk to his younger self? I thought you said.
Yeah, I see. In 2000, so I guess when he was here in 2000, his younger self would have been
two.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he would in fact know who he is right now.
Yeah, you know, I believe he said that his parents were fully aware of who he was and what he was doing. So,
yeah.
You know, he wasn't trying to hide that.
All right, and you were talking about CERN. Was that the scientific, where all the scientists come together? I forget.
It's in Switzerland. And it's a European division there where they work on physics and things like that. It was formed in 1954, a number of scientists. And the Europeans set that up so they could combat what we do here in the United States. They want to try to beat us in some areas of science, so that's what they decided to do. Imagine the parents of John Teeter when he walked in the door and they saw him or he explained to them who he was. Can you imagine what they said, Oliver?
Yeah, that would be a very bizarre confrontation. I have no idea how that would have come about.
I wonder what it would be like for all of us to see our very small 2-year-old self, for example. That, too, would be strange. Oliver, thanks so much. The website, of course, linked up with coasttocoastam.com, but it is John Teeter, TITOR.com. Oliver, keep in touch with me on this, would you?
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Norrie.
I appreciate that. What a fascinating story. I mean, because I do believe eventually we will learn the secrets of time travel, and they'll come back. Many people believe these UFO sightings are time travelers that have come back. So who knows? Open lines in a moment.